Okay, let's just. Hold on. I think I'm on the right camera. Okay, I'm just letting everyone in from the waiting room. Shalom aleichem, everyone. If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up.
Yep.
Okay, great. Morty, I made you the co-host, so keep an eye on the waiting room, please.
Okay.
Sorry, we have a new venue. The board is not quite as good because of some new corona on-campus regulations. But we are going to do the best we can. And try to forge ahead in the Gemara. Let me just see if I can find some place to put my Gemara. Okay. I'll find a standard at some point. No, it's okay. Not for now. Okay, we're both safe. We're in the Gemara. We last left off with the end of our discussion of Or. And we were discussing the Shita of the Ravid. We discussed what the Ravid meant. Did he mean Bina Shmashos, or did he just mean to do it right away at Seisach Kochavim? And we discussed the most interesting question, what's the Svar of the Ravid? And we saw three Svaras, right? The Ran said, last thing we said, the Ran said just so that he doesn't, he's not Misrashil, so he doesn't miss out. The Levush of the Taz says, no, it's a technical point, but it's an internal point. They wanted to find a certain time based on the Gemara later on, if Ne'adam Mitzuyim Vateihem, and they claimed that Ne'adam Mitzuyim Vateihem is not any time it's dark outside. But Ne'adam Mitzuyim Vateihem means Davka, the beginning of the night when everyone comes home and it's like a fixed, noticeable time, right? It's Zman Mitzuyim, they say, that you can make the Sakana. And the Gra took a little further. He quoted Yerushalmi, which is a little tricky because the Bavli does not seem to hold like that Yerushalmi. But nonetheless, he took this Yerushalmi seriously. He seemed to imply that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi were on the same page on some level. And the Yerushalmi implied there's some sort of kiyum in the day of, Laila Vayom Shumarim, which is the kiyum in the day. You need the kiyum in the whole day, right? The Yerushalmi is very fundamental. It says, you need a kiyum the whole Yerdalit. Okay, maybe the Bavli wouldn't darshan the same sukkim exactly, but at the very least, once they made this takana of Bdigas Chametz, they made a kiyum, the whole Yodalit should be Meshomer, and therefore, obviously, you have to start from the beginning. What we didn't get a chance to discuss, which is a little tricky technically, if anyone got a chance to look at the Taz, is, yes, Leon. Yes, thank you. Is the relationship between these two questions, like, is the reason for the Ravid, how does that affect the timing of the Ravid? And here, the Gra, it was pointed out to me, has an interesting Lashitase. The Gra in, not in his writings, but in his actions, in the Maisa Rav, Semen Kof Ayin Ches, if you look in the Maisa Rav, it says that the Gra started Bdikas Chametz before the Laila. It actually says he would start Bdikas Chametz before the nighttime, when it was too early for Maariv, then take a break for Maariv time, and then go back to Bdikas Chametz. But it's clear that for the Gra, he started Bdikas Chametz during Bnei Shmasha. So he held like the Bnei Shmasha Shita of the Bach Udi'imei. That would make a lot of sense for the Gra Lushitaseh. If the Gra thinks the reason is that you want the Kiyum in the whole night and the whole day, then you don't want any of the night and the day to not have that Kiyum of Shmira. So you have to start Bnei Shmasha because it might already be the next day. While if you took the Ran of Shema Yisrashel, then you would say that's enough to start at Seis. You know, you don't have to start just, you know, they made the Kan in your Dalet. So you should do it at the very beginning when you're sure that it's your Dalet. You don't have to start before. You don't have to start when it's a suffix, whether it's the day, just to avoid the possibility of forgetting. So it might be totally on that, but as we'll see when we get to Daf Dalet a little later. And when we get to the, and I'll mention the Tanz again, it might be more complicated because there's an idea that the Orai Ner is only Yafa at night. And it could be that it might depend on the technical issue whether candles are good in Bnei Shmasha or candles are only good after Tzeis, which is what the Taz says. So we'll just point out the Gra works nicely. The Shitase again, the Gra says fundamentally you need to chop the whole day with Shmir Michametz. Then it makes sense. You would do it in Bnei Shmasha, so you chop the whole day. You don't lose any of the day. You don't suffix lose any of the day. So that works well, the Shitase. Okay, the one thing I wanted to add was that...
Hey, Rebbe.
Yes.
Rebbe, before you go, there are windows on the other side of the room that are shining. Are there shades on those windows?
Okay, yeah. Can someone close all the shades to the windows so that we get less glare, please? Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a bit of an intelligent test to know how to shut the shades, but I think you guys can do it. Now, it might be the electric lights, so I'm not sure, but we should try shutting the shades. Yeah. Shutting the shades requires hand-eye coordination. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Similar.
Okay. What? Yeah, you see, you have to, like, get it. Yeah.
It's better.
Okay, you cut.
It's
okay, Liam, can you do what they did to those two? You know, you have to, like, get it exactly. Yes. Yeah, precisely. Yeah. Okay. Now we're both side. Our context was why the Mishnah said or, right? Remember, it was the discussion of Lishna Ma'alya. How does Lishna Ma'alya translate to saying or? So the simple shot was that it's just Laila is bad language. But some of the Rishonim had trouble with that. They said, come on, Laila's not bad language. You know, don't exaggerate. Not to mention the fact that why confuse someone about what time to do a mitzvah? So we had, besides the simple shot, two other suggestions. The Balamor and the Ramban said, Psach Tvarecha Ya'ir, that it's a special diktok in language for the beginning of Masechet. And the Ravid had his big kiddush and said, no, it's actually to hint to you a halacha that you have to do it when there's still some light outside, which we saw there were two opinions about exactly what that meant. Now, I thought there's room too, once we're already giving additional reasons for it says or here, and once like the Balamor and the Rambam are saying, it could be within Lishna Ma'alya is not just, is Lashon Arumim, is not just avoiding bad words or avoiding negative words, but, you know, choosing words carefully to be appropriate for the context. I think in this particular context, there might be a specific reason, even though I haven't found this in the Rishonim, why our Masechet. Now, this is not going to necessarily explain everything, right? The Ravid is trying to explain all of the uses of or. But at least in our Masechet, you know, it may not be coincidence because what is our Masechet about, right? It's important to remember sometimes that, you know, with all the lumdus and all the halachic concepts, etc., ultimately it all goes back to Yisias Mitzrayim, right? There's a reason for all of Pesach. It all goes back to something that happened 3,000, however many hundred years ago. And it would all be meaningless if not for, the historical event that it commemorates, which is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim is fascinating in that, first of all, in terms of the relationship between day and night, Pesach in general, there are almost no mitzvahs in the Torah that you do at night. Oh, can anyone think of any mitzvahs in the Torah at night? Don't give me Hector Halom Beivarim. You know, that's leftover from the day. You can finish up. Right? All the mitzvahs in the Torah are in the daytime. Even though we darshan that some of them apply even at night. But the always talk about the daytime, or at most, the Pesukim say, this is a 24-hour one, like fasting on Yom Kippur. Davka on Pesach is the only time when, what?
Counting Sphira. Counting Sphira is only
Kiddush.
The Counting Sphira doesn't say in the Torah when to do it, fair enough. Okay, so certainly in the Pesukim, it doesn't say when to count the Omer. It says, Usfartim Lachem. The fact that you count that you have to count at night is not even 100% clear, right? It's a suffix whether or not you'll see during the day. It's not.
Kiddush.
What?
Kiddush.
Kiddush. Doesn't say Kiddush at night at all. Mapitom. If you don't.
Rekriat Shmashel Arvit.
Okay. B'shach Lecha Uv Kumecha. Fair enough. That's the only decent one. It's not even clear. We're not going to go into the Tosos on the first Amud and Shas as to whether it really has to be at night or not. But you get the point. You're stretching here. Sfirsa Omer and Kiddush are both things that, at least according to some or all Shitas, you can kind equally during the day. They certainly don't say the word night anywhere. There's only one mitzvah at night that says you do at night anywhere in the Chumash. And it could be, according to some Shitas, it could be the only mitzvah that has to be done dafka at night. That's Midoraisa. They may be midrabanan. There are some, maybe not, unclear. Depends on your shita about Hanukkah candles and about Megillah, etc. Certainly, our minhag is to light, maybe to light Hanukkah candles at night. I'm not sure what our minhag is. Anyway, Kitzer, it's very funny in that in Pshuta Shel Mikra, nothing happens at night, and in Halacha, very few things happen at night. You know, you have all these people who go to the Arctic Circle shailas, what to do if it's 6 months day and 6 months night. And basically the times when it's 6 months night, it's oy vavoy, how to be a Jew. The times when it's 6 months day, it's really no big deal unless you hit the Seder night, right? Because there's nothing you really need to do at night. Say Kriya Shema from Plag and say Mara from Plag and rely on Rabbeinu Tam and you're good and Sfiras Omer, you're Yotzei during the day and et cetera. You know, it is interesting that Davka, there's only one night in the Jewish calendar that has special halachic status, meaning that has enlightenment in it, that has content in it, right? If or is a content, as we're in Dayak, and darkness is ahead there, there's only one night that's not ahead there. It's not just, oh, the time you don't do anything, it's the time you do something, which is the Pesach night. And there is something unique. Now, I know, here we're talking about Orlar Basar, so it's Bederach Remez, obviously. But I think there's something unique about this day nights have a different status, have a more day-like status when it comes to Pesach. But I think more importantly, forget about night and day, just darkness and light. What is Pesach all about? Pesach is all about Ulchol Bnei Yisrael Haya Or B'Moshvel Sun. Is that how Bnei Yisrael had light within the darkness, right? After all, what comes right before the Pesach Seder, right? Orlar Basar is right before the Pesach Seder. In case you didn't notice, Maseches Pesachim is in chronological order. Starts from Orlar Basar, right? Then goes to the next day, and what chametz you have to get rid of, and what chametz you can keep, etc. And then goes to preparing for the Seder, etc. Then goes to the Korban Pesach, and Arvei Pesachim, some of them. And the last perek is actually Leil Tesvav. So what comes, here we have, what do you do before the Seder? Before the Karban and the Seder and the real Chayv Adam Liris Asma Kilu Yotzim Mitzrayim. What's the last thing before Kilu Yotzim Mitzrayim? So what's the last, forget about Kilu, what's the last thing before Karban Pesach and Yotzim Mitzrayim? We all know Makas Bechoros. What is Makas Bechoros? It's about having total darkness, but Ulchol B'nei Yisrael or most of some having light within the darkness. Right? Pesach is really all about the light within the darkness. The Seder night as well, right? Ish, right, remember that was one of the pshatim on why you shouldn't go out at night, is we learned from the mashtis, etc. of the night, right, the dangers of the night, and the Jews were saved from the dangers of the night. Basically, the whole story of Pesach is how darkness turned into light for the Jewish people. That's a summary of the story, story of Pesach, is light from the darkness. And really, you know, without getting drushy even, I don't think I've gotten drushy yet, I've just gotten remezy, but, you know, the message of Pesach throughout all of Jewish history is that no matter how dark it is, there's always the light will come through the darkness. But I think here specifically, if you ask why do we start even more than Pesach Tvarecha Ya'ir, being Ashkenazi pronunciation,
not just Pesach Tvarech HaYair, but Pesach Tvarech HaYair, as it were, there might be a specific reason why Chazal wanted to start Maseches Pesachim with the word Or, because Ulcho B'nei Yisrael Hoya Or B'mol Shvosam, the Pesach is about the darkness turning into light, and specifically the thing you do before Korban Pesach and the Seder, the Makkah right before, or the Mitzvah right before, is about darkness becoming light for us. So really, maybe when we do B'digas Chametz, the whole idea of B'digas Chametz is that we're taking the darkness of night and turning it into light, right? The Neiros, right? When we light that light in the B'digas Chametz, we're remembering a little bit that Chol B'nei Yisrael or B'moshal Sam, right? The B'digas Chametz B'moshal Sam. So it could be that B'derech Remez Drush, whatever you want to call it, there could be a more specific, deeper reason why Davka we want to play with, not play with, but we want to be Merames to the Lila being Or instead of Choshech, Davka on the night of B'digas Chametz and Davka on Pesach. So I think that's worth thinking about. And then we will go on to some of the more halachic topics in the Gemara, because I don't want people to say all I do is say drush. So back to the Gemara that we discussed. We left off, if I recall correctly, at the Hani Trey Talmidim. Right, about, I don't know, quarter way through Daf Gimel Beis. How many trade tell me that we yesterday coming to Rav? Two tell me from Rav, Chadam or Shavi, Sinan, Hai Shmaitze, Kedavar Acher Mesanka. One of them said, this sugya left us like a pig Mesankan. It's not really clear exactly what Mesankan means. I mean, it's clear to Rashi, but not everyone agrees. Rashi says tired, or the Reina Hananel says maybe a stuffed, you know, like, Rashi says, we're to this sugya tired us out. The Rebbeinu Chananel source said, no, it stuffed us up. We're like full of Torah. His second shot is flailing. So three different shittas, how the sugya left us. Did it leave us tired? Like, we got it down, but boy, was that exhausting. Did it leave us full of Torah? Boy, we're in such a good mood after the sugya. Or did it leave us flailing? He says, literally, Rebbeinu Chananel says, Basanka, and the second shot says, Nispashi v'mayim mischavi lots of shomeinu yochel. Literally, like, in the water and can't get out, like we just can't figure out the sugya. But however, whether it left them feeling exhausted, feeling exhilarated, or feeling frustrated, he said it left us like a pig. And the other one says like a goat, like a kid goat that's masankan. And Rav didn't talk to the first one because he used an unclean lashon, a bad lashon of a pig to talk about learning Torah. Two Talmid in front of Hillel, Chanan and Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, but Amar Lo Yikamer to Rabbi, Chanan and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, they remember Rabbi Yochanan, but it doesn't matter if it's Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai in front of Hillel or Rabbi Yochanan in front of Rabbi. It was obviously very, very great people. Chadamar was one of them. Chadam they ma Boltrim Vitarav and Moskim Vitarav. One of them said, why do we eat Boltrim is to pick grapes, right? We know in Hebrew there are different words for harvest for different crops. Boltrim, why do we pick grapes Vitara, but we don't pick olives Vitara, right? When we pick grapes, everything has to be tahor. But when we pick olives, everything doesn't have to be tahor because the olives aren't mekabel tumah. Because they're not mukhshar lekabel tumah yet. They haven't gotten wet. So but why the grapes we treat as mukhshar lekabel tumah? The other one said, why are we pick grapes with tahara, but pick olives with tumah? Amar said, either Hillel or Rebbe, muftachin yozeh shemor Rabbi Yisrael, I am sure this one, l'chora, the one who says, ein moskim metara, who didn't want to use the word Tumah. I'm like the Torah didn't want to. I'm sure he'll be more Rabbi Yisrael. He'll be a gadol someday. And obviously, it was not a long time until, in fact, he was more Rabbi Yisrael, whether it's Rabbi Yochanan, Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan, they were the gadol Torah. Okay, here, just the Mefarshim are a little confused because why is it better? I mean, go back to the Torah. Why? The Torah said Tumah all the time. And how do we explain why the Torah said Tumah all the time? Because you should be precise, you should be brief, you should be terse, right? And so he said, Ein Moskim B'Tara is three words. The other fellow said, Moskim B'Tumah is two words. So it's actually better to say Tumah with two words than to be brief based on what we saw from the Torah. So what's shot here? So the Ran and the Maram Chalava discuss this, and some of the other Rishonim say similar things. There are basically three. There are basically three answers. The Ran brings two answers. One he brings in the name of Tosos, who is very radical. The Shatashi thing also brings three answers. Well, it's not a very good one.
One sec, we need something really clear. This is a terrible board. Somebody needs to wash this board.
Okay, let's try this. One is the Ran B'Shem Tosfos, and other people also quoted B'Shem Tosfos. Says the Ran, quoting Tosfos. Let me just see if this is visible. Hold on.
It's clear writing.
Okay, Ran B'Shem Tosfos, thank you. He says that, who was the one who's more of a Ra? He says it was the second one, right? The second one says Moshe Matama. It was the second Talmud. The second Talmud was praised, not for using clean Lashon, but for using concise Lashon. Because the Torah said concise Lashon is more important than, I wouldn't say clean, as opposed to dirty. Remember to say Dinim according to Moshe Rishonim. Concise Lashon is more important than extra positive Lashon. But that's not the simple pshat of the Gemara. The simple pshat of the Gemara is it was the fellow who said, "Ein moskin betara." So what's pshat? So the Ran and the Maram Chalava and others also suggest. Maram Chalava also suggest that it wasn't because of the bad language. It was because of misleadingness. Because the fellow said moskin betoma sounds like you should davka pick aloes betoma. That doesn't make sense. There's no reason to davka pick aloes betoma. That's silly. Why would anyone davka pick aloes betoma? It's just that you can do whatever you want, and there's no halachic requirement to do one way or the other. So, if it's that you can do whichever you want, then it's more accurate to say ein moskin betara, because it means you don't have to, but you can do whatever you want. Rather than moskin betoma sounds davka. So it said the reason was that moskin betoma is misleading. And the principle here is not about being concise or about being positive or clean. It's about being exacting with your words. One was exacting with his words. The other one was not exacting with his words. The third pshat that the Maram Chalava says, although I don't, it's a little hard to fully understand what he's saying, but the Maram Chalava in his first pshat, in his Hamish Rishon, in his first pshat, he says that he was praising the first Talmud, but not denigrating the second Talmud. After all, he didn't say anything bad about the second Talmud like Rav did when the guy talked about a pig. He was praising the first Talmud, meaning they're both worthy of praise. The second one was good for speaking concisely, and the first one was good for speaking in clean language. Here it's a little tricky. If the first one was praised for speaking in clean language, but the Torah says it's better to use concise language than clean language. And he did not say like the Maharsha Shah that we mentioned last time. The Maharsha Chalav is not the Maharsha Shah who says they're both equal. So this is a bit of a strange one. Like, why would he praise the first one for using clean language when really concise language is better than positive language? So this is a big chinuch chiddush, I think, this Maram Chalava. Because the guy Taka was wrong. What he did is, like, he implemented value X, even though it should have been overridden by value Y. And he praised him. Oh, look at you. You'll be a big rabbi someday because you know value X. Oh, you didn't have the right shekel to know that value X in this case is overridden by value Y. Apparently, you learn from here, they have to praise a Talmud who does something for the right reason, understanding one point, even though he really shouldn't have done it for some other reason, which is a big chiddush. You know, I would have said, I'm not so open-minded. I would have said, this guy will never be Mohar of Yisrael because he doesn't know how to weigh things and he doesn't know what's more important than what. But apparently, the Maram Chalava thinks that, no, look, he was trying to use Lashon Nekiya. He was trying to use Lashon Arumin. He was trying to do the right thing, even though he messed up and he forgot the other half of the equation, so he's not yet ready to be more Horeb Yisrael, because he doesn't know how to weigh all the factors, but someday he will be, because he's trying very hard. So this is a big chiddush, that even though the second Talmud was right. So he's praising the first Talmud. I would go a little further, unless someone wants to contradict me here. He is praising the first Talmud, even though he
did not. Fulfill the ideal. Ideally, it would be better to be concise. And even though the first Talmud didn't fulfill the ideal, but since he was trying to implement the Torah value, he's worthy of praise. Okay, big finish of the Maram Chalava. The Shotash Beitz gives a fourth answer, and these are all the answers I know of. Says the Shotash Beitz, he quotes two of these other answers. He quotes one and two, and the Shotash Beitz says, and here's a Chiddush, he says, hold on a second. The Gemara, he's Medayik in the Gemara. It's a very sharp diuk. He said, the Gemara says, the Olam Yeshana Adam L'Talmido Derech Tzara. For a Talmud, you should talk B'derech Tzara. But he doesn't say you should talk to your Rebbe B'derech Tzara. So what does he say? A Talmud should talk concisely to his students, so his students will be able to like memorize what he said and keep it with them as a mantra of some sort and always remember what he said. When the student's talking to his Rebbe, there's no value in being concise. Because he just has to get his question known to his Rebbe. It's not like the Rebbe's going to memorize that and use that at the basis of his Torah Shmaltei Masorah. When you're passing the Masorah, you have to be concise. When you're talking to your Rebbe, there's no need to be concise. So he says, no problem. He says, only teacher has to be concise, not a Talmud. Okay, so therefore the Talmud, the first Talmud was right for not being concise and instead for using Lashon Nekia. Okay, Agav, we might just be curious, besides Lashon Nekia, the Gemara here didn't answer. Why are we both from Batara, the Ein Moskim Batara? Or according to Tosfos, as quoted by the Rishonim, both from Batara, Moskim Batuma, right? Or since I'm a Rebbe, right? Tash would say, I should say both from Batara, Moskim Batuma. Why is there a difference in grapes and olives? So anyone want to tell me why there's a difference in grapes and olives?
The liquid that comes out.
Motrim and Moskim. So the Gemara in Shabbos explains, it doesn't explicitly say the difference in grapes and olives. It says, why taka do you have to be Motrim b'tara? After all, it's Ochel Shel Hukhsha, right? It was, the grapes are just picked now. They never got wet yet. There should be no problem of Kabbalah's Tumah. So one answer is, that sometimes you go to check if they're ready, you squeeze them, and the juice squeezed onto another grape, and then that other grape is now Hofshar L'Kabal Tumah. That's one possibility. Or they suggest sometimes they're bunches together, you squeeze them when you pick them off, and the juice goes onto them. Or they say you might put them into baskets without holes in them, into lined baskets, like baskets that you... wicker baskets that you put tar. You probably wouldn't put tar. I don't know, maybe some other chemical, mizupapos, into baskets that you sealed, into sealed baskets. And when you put them in sealed baskets, you put a lot in the baskets. The top ones squish the bottom ones. A little juice comes out, and that juice stays there because it's a sealed basket, and it's juice that you want. And when you want a liquid, it's machshir l'kabal tumah. So there's all these zeros. But why do we have these same zeros by olives? Right? Same thing happened to grapes could happen by olives. So here there's a few pshatim in the Farshim. We're not going to go through all of Tyrus now. I'll just mention a few pshatim in the Farshim. Rashi says here, Ein moskim b'tara, d'lo choshev mo'al yotzim in the hasher, she'eno shemen gomer el yotze el de'abad. Okay. It's a little unclear. Then he says the yayin is nicha, but he sounds like it's not shemen gomer. What is that shemen gomer? They're only, and Tosfos and Shabbos says this very clearly, there are only seven liquids that are machshir l'kabal tumah, not anything that's wet. That's called chemically a liquid is machshir l'kabal tumah. Only seven liquids are machshir l'kabal tumah. What are those seven liquids? We know yad shachadam, one of them is shemen, one of them is yayin. What's the problem? Problem is, if you squeeze a grape and any amount of juice comes out, is it basically the same quality as normal grape juice? Yes. If you squeeze an olive, here, we're beyond my expertise. I'm just believing what it says in Shas, not that I have any acquaintance with squeezing olives. But if you squeeze an olive, what first comes out is not real oil. It's just like a weak running liquid. It's called mohel. So he says there might be a physical difference. That's what Rashi and Tosfos and Shabbos seem to say. So one shot is Rashi, Tosfos and Shabbos. We'll see those here in a moment. They say that it's called yayin, but It's not called shemen. What comes out at first, before you squeeze it, is not called shemen. It's just a mohel that's not called shemen, and therefore it's not one of the seven liquids. It's not machshir kavel tuma. The Rambam, I put in brackets, Tumas Oakland, he's not discussing the difference between grapes and olives, but he does mention the inyan of olives. And the if you look at the Rambam and Tumas Oakland, what does he say? Mosik is Zesav, etc., etc., etc. Lo Huchshro, they're not Huchshro Kabal Tuma. Why not? He says, Kodesh Gabriel Malachtam, before you finish pressing them, clearly when you pick them, you haven't finished pressing them. You're not Rotsa B'Kiyumo. It's coming from a similar place. I mean, you don't want it. It's not good. It's not helpful. But he makes it more mental than physical, because there's a rule that a mash is only mash of Kabal Tuma if you want it. Right? That says, Mayim alzera. What's the famous drasha? It was put, but read you put it. Means even if it was put by accident, but only if you wanted it there, right? So therefore, you need rotsa b'kiyumo. So says the Rambam, it's more of a mental difference. Now, obviously, it's not coincidence. The reason you're rotsa b'kiyumo of the grape juice and not of the olive juice is because the grape juice is good quality and the olive juice is not. But he makes it a mental difference. Rotsa b'kiyumo. He doesn't say explicitly, but obviously, eino rotsa. That seems to be the difference according to the Rambam. Rabbeinu Hananel here says, "Mipnei sha mashke drahen matzoy liyo shotate b'shato masha in kein b'zeisim." He says there's a very physical difference, right? Not like a halachic status difference or a mental difference. The Rabbeinu Hananel says here it's matzoy to drip out when you pick it. Here, it's not matzoy to drip, right? Meaning, if you put your grapes in the basket, grapes are soft. So it's matzoy that got squished and are dripping out. Olives are very hard. You ever see an olive tree? They're rock hard. Not rock hard, but they're very hard. And so it's not so matzoy for it to drip, and therefore, they didn't make this zera. I think likewise, like, you know, if you pull them, it's not matzoy to drip. You're not going to squeeze them. It's not going to hit something else. None of these things are matzoy. Okay, Tosos here says, it's a little unclear. Tosos is in wrestling most of the Tyre of the first of Yosef. The time of the Betzira, the Verakam, the Shabbos, the Shaykh, the reasons for the Shash and the Shaykh. Why? The Shemi of Tzernu Kugun Zufefes, you might use a sealed basket, Vainami, Pamim, or that you'll come and you'll spritz it onto the next one, etc., etc. Ain't no Ruggle Lasses Cain. You don't usually do this. She'eino mashke ve'eino choshev, because it's not a mashke and it's not choshev, k'damar hasam, like it says there, ve'eino rotsu kiyumo, you don't want it. He throws in a lot of things. He throws in, you don't usually do it. He throws in, it's not a mashke, it's not choshev. He throws in, you're not rotsu b'kiyumo. It's not 100% clear why Tosos needs to throw in so many different answers. Like, you could have just said, you're not rotsu b'kiyumo, like the Rambam, or it never happens, like the Rabbeinu Hananel, or it's not called a mashke, like Rashi sounded like here, and like Tosfos himself says very, very clearly in Maseches Shabbos. It seems to me that Tosfos probably means what he says here in the Tosfos Shatz. The Tosfos Shatz, he quotes the same Rabbi Yosef. He just explains it a little more. He says you need two answers to the two different scenarios, even though in our Lashon of Tosfos, it's a mishmash. Like, you know, why does he need to say so many things? Unless he just means you don't usually do it. I mean, you don't usually put in sealed baskets or squeeze it. Why? Because it's not chashim and you don't want it. Doesn't really explain why you don't squeeze it. Like, you squeeze it to see if it's ready yet. Could explain why you don't use sealed baskets, because that's important. So pashtas, he might mean, like the Tosos Shan says here in the name of Yosef, Tosos, if you assume like he means in the Tosos Rashmi Shans right here, he says two different answers for the two cases, for the two chashos. He brings two chashos here. One chash is the chash of, what's it called? What's the lashon here? That you might spritz it, right? You go mezalif, right? The sochto umezalfo. In terms of, well, let me take it back. In terms of the kubot mezufafot, terms of the
Yeah, in terms of the kupot mizupafos that you might put in a sealed, what if you accidentally use a sealed basket? So then I think you would say rotsa bikiyumo, right? That's because it's not rotsa, it's not choshev mashke, and it's not rotsa bikiyumo. So then he would say, look, if it's the wine that's called yayin mashke, and rotsa bikiyumo, here it is not called shemen, meaning it's not called a mashke, and ain't a rotsa bikiyumo. So maybe he's giving two reasons. He's saying, look, it's not called mashke, it's not called shemen, it's not rotsa bikiyumo. The stuff in the basket, that's two reasons why it wouldn't apply to olives. Why does he have to say ain't a rotsa king? Because maybe for the sochto umizalfo, if you actually squeeze it, then real oil comes out. Not just leave it sitting in a basket to get a little squish. If you mamish squeeze it, you can get real oil out. So there, sochto umizalfo, it is a real mashke because you squeezed it, and it's clearly rotsa bikiyumo. You wanted it to come out. So then the answer is, but ain't no rugel lasos king. It's not a common thing. It's common that you check if your grapes are ready by squeezing them. It's not common that you check if your olives are ready by squeezing them. Or even if you do check they're ready by squeezing them, they don't spritz onto the next olive. Or maybe you don't commonly check. That's not how you check your olives. You check your olives, you look how big they are. So you look what season it is. So, okay, Tosos here is a little unclear. I admit he's throwing in three different things. You don't usually do it, so we don't need to make it clear that you might do it. And it's not called a mashke. And you're not rotsa bikiyumo. Why does he need to throw in so many things? So maybe he's giving two answers for the case of kupos mizupapos. Even if you use a sealed basket, which you might. And it's not called a mashke. It's not called shemen, a mashke. And it's ain't a rotsa bikiyumo. So it's for sure not mashke for two reasons. And as far as squeezing it, where it would be a mashke, because when you squeeze it, good juice comes out. And it would be rotsa bikiyumo because you're squeezing it on purpose. Nonetheless, it's not something you usually do. That's the way the Tosos Shan says over Tosos. So we'll take his word for it at this point, unless someone has a better shot in why Tosos had to be so redundant. And we will go on in the Gemara. Okay. Writer in the Gemara. Yes. Question. No. Okay. Writer in the Gemara. Says the Gemara. What? Sorry, I can't hear you well.
Also, Rashi throws in the Nichalei Bay at the end.
Rashi also throws in two things, right? Rashi says it's Nichalei by the Yayin. He doesn't say by the Shemen because it's not Nichalei. I think Rashi is saying that the Shemen, whether it's Nichalei or not, is not called a Mashke. The Yayin is called a Mashke. And you should know it's Nichalei because that's also necessary for it to be Mashke LeKabel Toma. That's the way I'm reading Rashi. Okay, continuing the Gemara. Another nice story. Hanu Tosa Kahani, three Kahani in the time of the Samikdash, which should be rebuilt from here by Amenu. Chad Amalui Yannick,
Rabbi, one of the Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Why is this the same Lashon that's in Shabbos Yud Zayin Amid Aleph when Hillel's asking Shammai the question? Why is the Talmud, why does this come up as a new discussion? This was already done. Hillel asked Shammai, Mikni Ma Botsim Batave, Moskim Batara. So what's the relationship between our Gemara and that Gemara?
Okay, good question. I would assume
and Shammai gets
that Gemara is... So I would assume that Gemara is a little earlier. That Gemara is a little earlier in the days of Hillel and Shammai. And then Hillel won that fight. Actually, Shammai won the fight, right? That Gemara was a little earlier in the day of Hillel and Shammai. Yeah. And then later on, after that Gemara, the time of that Gemara ended, and in a generation later, maybe even, Hillel and Shammai had this fight. And then Hillel's Talmidim, or even Rebbe's Talmidim, asked him, can you explain to me this? Because I wasn't there so long ago. So you have to say the story in Shabbos was before the person, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan, was learning, and this story happened later. Okay, so the three Kahanim.
So there may be a relationship between the two stories.
Yes, meaning if someone is asking a question in a later generation that was already asked in an earlier generation. You know, the truth is it could be he was Mamash a Talmud, right? Meaning someday he'll be a big rabbi. He could have been Yeshiva Bacher then, like a 13-year-old, a 12-year-old. So as a 12-year-old, he's asking a Shaila that the rabbis had debated years ago, but he didn't know that. So I think in our Gemara, he's just asking a question that was already asked a long time ago, of course, to take all the pshatim against Tosos, that Kaka Ein Moskim Atara is better, I think would work, because what's the Lashon in Shabbos? In Maseches Shabbos.
That's right. Omer Lohi Lo Lishama, Nikni Ma Goldstein, it's the same Lashon.
Which Lashon? Right. So that would actually be a good rabbi against the Tosos, that it's better to say Ein Moskim Atara, because that's how Hillel and Shammai discussed it. Okay, so you just have to say later on the Talmud was like asking a question that had been dealt with earlier. Okay, back to the three Kohanim. One of them said, Higiani Kapol, I got the size of a bean of Kutchim. Chanam Higiani Kazayis, I got the size of a Kazayis. Chanam Higiani Kazon of Altai, I got the size of a lizard tail. Keep in mind, a lizard is one of the Shmona Shratzim, right? One of the Tommy Shratzim in the Torah, right? Tova of the Sheretz Biyado, right? We always think about this time of the year. Right? Why not Tovel ve Moshe Mishka biyado, or Tovel ve Nevela biyado, or Tovel ve Nevela biyado, or Tovel ve Kzayis ve Ames biyado? Sheretz in Lashon Chazal is always the example of the Tomei thing, right? Like Sheretz, right? How do we know that someone's very clever if they can even tara Sheretz min haTorah, right? Meaning a Sheretz is the classic example of something Tomei. Why? Maybe because it's also very gross, like these creepy crawlies. Or maybe, who knows, maybe some reason of Pneumius. But in any case, when you said shrotzim in the days of Chazal, you meant something that's like the not the most tummy, mace is more tummy, but the classic example of tummy. And this guy said, how much kutchim did I get? Like the tail of a lizard, which is one of these shmona shrotzim. So you compared the kutchim to shrotzim. But go'achar matzabo shemetz psol. They checked after him and found he had a stain of psol. They found he had a psol in him. But v'ha tanani boken zech l'mala. How could that be? Don't we say that once a coin serves in the zech, you never check again? Because the Sanhedrin checked him out so well before they let him serve in the zech that it's impossible that he have a psul in his yochsin. Meaning it's 100%. There's no need to check. Once Sanhedrin lets him serve in the zech, it's 100% he's kosher. So how could they found he had a psul yochsin? So the answer is two answers. Lo tema shemetz psul, elei mashachetz psul. Maybe it's not they found the shemetz psul. It's that they found a shachatz psol. Shachatz means a gaifa, right? Haughtiness. They found he had a psol of haughtiness. What's the psol of the haughtiness? Since when is haughtiness possibly from being a kohen? I mean, it's a good idea to have humble people serve Hashem. But what's the psol? So Rashi says the psol of haughtiness is based on a drosh menachos that the Gemara darshins that a kohen is modern, all the avodos can do all of them. If he's not modern, all of them, he can't. Meaning, if he's willing to do all of them, even the non-chashav ones, then he can do avodah. If he says, I'm only doing the chashav avodos, he's puzzled. And they discovered this kohen was not willing to do the non-chashav avodos, and therefore he was puzzled and gamrei. Okay, Rabbeinu Hananel doesn't quite go that far. He says that gasas ruchul igas lashon. No, he was just sarcastic and arrogant, and apparently he thinks that's also a reason to fire Cohen. So Rashi says you only fire Cohen if his arrogance causes him to not be willing to do all the avodos. And Rabbi Chanan says, no, you fire him if he's just arrogant and sarcastic. Okay, I think it's a good policy to follow Rabbi Chanan. I don't know if they ever ask me my opinion, they say make this, which is unlikely. Rashi, and let's just go to the second answer. The second answer to the Gemara is, by saying Mashani Hosan Diyadara Nafshe, or you could say no. Even though normally it's 100% that if they Sanhedrin lets him serve in the Mizbeach, then he can't have a Shemetz Psol. It's not 100%, it's 99%. But if there's a Reyasa, then you check, and it could be that it's the 1% where they made a mistake. And here there's a Reyasa, because he made a Reyasa himself, right, by using this kind of Lashon. And therefore, it's only 99%, and when there's a Reyasa, you check. Rashi and Tosfos also argue what a Shemetz Psol is. They don't argue what a shachat psol is. They just argue why it passes. Shemetz psol, rashes psol yochsin. The Rabbi Nachman says it wasn't a psol yochsin, it was a psol of Avodah. A kohen who worships Avodah Zarah is puzzled for the rest of his life from serving the Beis HaMikdash. So what did they discover? According to Rashi yochsin, according to Rabbi Nachman, that he once worshipped Avodah Zarah. And even though both of those things are supposed to be taken care of by the Sanhedrin, and you shouldn't have to check, according to the second answer, when he makes a reyes in himself, then you check. Okay, here Agav, the Achronim, go to town. Because there's a famous Beis Halevi, right? You know, the Beis Halevi obviously is Reb Chaim's father, right? Reb Chaim is supposed to be the progenitor of the Brisker Derech, right? The originator of the Brisker Derech, but his progenitor, But the Beis HaLevi, even if he wasn't the one who founded the Brisker Derech, he clearly laid the groundwork for it in some sense. And this is the famous Brisker Beis HaLevi, right? One of the most famous Brisker Beis HaLevis, who asked the question here. The question is, how could we all know that a pull is smaller than a Zayat? So how could they have given each Kohen a pull, then they're being mevatel the mitzvah seiv achilas kachim? There's a mitzvah seiv achilas kachim, and achilas b'kazayis akolotar kula. So how could they give each Kohen less than a kazayis? That's a bitl seiv achilas kachim. Famous question of the Beis HaLevi. Bitl asei of achilas kachim. And the Beis HaLevi here comes up with a tremendous chiddush. What does the Beis HaLevi say? First thing the Beis HaLevi says is not his chiddush. Is a mafurish Tosfos Shoshanim in Yoma. Tosfos Shoshanim in Yoma says you yotze the mitzvah achilas kachim with less than exayis. You don't need exayis. Says more of a mitzvah is better to have exayis, but you don't need exayis. So if here we talk about achilas kachim. Achilas kachem. Question is, how much you need to eat for the mitzvah of achilas kachem? So one shot is that your yotze even bepachos miksayas. That is the Tosfos Yeshanim. That's a rishon, right? Tosfos Yeshanim is not. Don't think like Tosfos Yeshanim. He's old-fashioned Tosfos, you know. Tosfos Shanim is just Tosfos, just like we have Tosfos Shans, Tosfos Rosh, Tosfos Rinyan Peretz. Tosfos Shanim just means after they printed the Shas, someone found an old Tosfos, right? Because the printing was brand new printing, and this is an old manuscript. Doesn't mean it was really written older, just means older than the printing. And they decided to put it on the page. So, just like in some after they put Tosfos Rosh on the page, like Sota, for example. So Tosfos Shanim. But why are you Yotzei Pachos Miksayis? It's not an Achila. So what's the famous Kiddush of the Beis HaLevi here? Someone help me out. What's the famous Kiddush of the Beis HaLevi? So this says the Beis HaLevi. Exactly. He says there's Gavra and Chefza. Some mitzvahs are mitzvahs on the Gavra. Like, for example, Achilas Matzah is a mitzvah on the Gavra. You have to eat matzah. Achilas Korban Pesach is a mitzvah on the Gavra. You have to eat a Korban Pesach. But Achilas Kachim, none of it's on the Gavra. Which Gavra has to eat the Kachim? Who has to eat the Kachim? Someone has to eat the kachim. So you could have said it's a mitzvah of the gavra on all the gavras. But he says, you know, which is possible. He says, no, that's a mitzvah in the chefza. The kachim has to be eaten. That's his chiddush. Achilas matz and achilas morer and achilas korban pesach and achilas, you know, anything else in the mitzvah would be ochel, is the mitzvah on the gavra. But achilas kachim is a mitzvah on the chefza. The chefza has to be nechel. The gavra doesn't have to be ochel. The chefza has to be nechel. And therefore, even though if everyone eats a size of a pull, no gavra did an achila, but the chefza was still nechal, and all we care about here is the chefza. So what's the svara? The svara says to be salevi, right? This is as brisker as it gets, is that there's no mitzvah ala gavra, right? This is like, no. There's no mitzvah on the gavra to eat kachim. Rather, it's a mitzvah ala chefza. Shehakodshim yiyu nechalim. So even though no one ate it, the kodshim were eaten. Right? No one did a maisa achila, but the kodshim were eaten. That's the famous chiddush of the Beis HaLevi, and his raya for his famous chiddush is our sugya. Right? His raya for his famous chiddush is our sugya. That's what he says. He says, "Avol mitzvah chilos kachim, a love mitzvah klal odem yuchad. The love chiyuva kakaf the gavra mitzvah the besar kachim yeyu nechalim." Okay, and then he's medayik this in the Rambam. He says that by korban pesach, the Rambam has a mitzvah say to eat korban pesach. He has no mitzvah say to eat the other korbanos. We all know it's a mitzvah say to eat the other korbanos. We all the Gemara says all over it's a mitzvah to eat kachim. The answer is no. By Karban Pesach, the mitzvah on the Gavra to eat, so he counts it as separate assay. By the other Karban, it's just the mitzvah, the Chefza should be eaten. Well, the Chefza should be a lot of things. The Chefza should be shechted, and the Chefza should be the Havetz Dam thrown on the Mizveach, and the Chefza should have the Chalav Mevarim be burnt, etc., etc. That's all part of the mitzvah, say, of Akrabas Kachim. As I said, the kodesh is nikrov kedinam. You don't have a separate mitzvah on the gavra v'achila. It's just part of the din of the cheftza of kodesh, which is a mitzvah, say, klolis of what the Rambam calls din chatas. There's a mitzvah say din chatas. I don't remember if he used the word din or different parallel word. Mitzvah say din asham and din shlamim and din olatz. Okay, olatz and achila, etc. Yeah, part of the din chatas that the cheftza shvinechal, unlike Korban Pesach, where it's a chiyav on the gavra to eat. That's the great raya of the Beis HaLevi. However,
is it the responsibility of the one who brings the korban to make sure that it's eaten?
Is it it's not necessarily. I don't think so necessarily. Keep in mind, if you're talking, let's say, about kodshe kodshim, about mincha and chatas and asham, and I bring a mincha or a chatas or an asham, I'm Yisrael, I can't eat it at all. I don't think I have anything to do with it. The Kohanim divvy it up. I don't think they ask my opinion or I have any input. Okay, shlamim might be a little different because, like, I have mumminous rights to the meat. But fundamentally no. However, what do the other achronim say? Many achronim.
Even according to the Rambam, when a person, let's say a kohen eats a chatas, he has to make a bracha.
Okay, not every bracha proves that it's a mitzvah on the gavra. After all, I know I'm mixing Rambam and Rush. The Rush says that you make a bracha when I get married, it's not a mitzvah on the gavra. Even better, shchita, right? Again, not for the Rambam. Right, we make a bracha al hashchita, and the Ravid says, and the Taz goes to town and Hilchos Shchita, Simen Yud Ches or wherever it is, about how it's not a mitzvah on anyone to shech. It's just that there's a din of shchita.
But when I do the shchita, Rabbi, when I do the shchita, it's still that's no chovah to do it, but still a ma'aseh mitzvah.
I'm not convinced. It's not a ma'aseh mitzvah. It's just a din of shchita. It's a din of shchita. It's a din that now that I can eat the meat. That's what the Taz says. And I'm saying you could assume what you're saying, but you don't have to. The Taz says there's no mitzvah to shecht. When I shecht, it's not that I'm doing a mitzvah. He said I'm doing a halachic act. So here also he's doing a halachic act, a halachically significant act. Could be you say a bracha on a halachically significant act. You think you only say a bracha on a mitzvah, which the Rambam might agree with, in which case it would at least be a kash on the Rambam, yesh la'ayin. Maybe so Aaron is different. You make a bracha on a halachically significant act. That's all I'm saying. After all, tefillah. We say Hashem Shemzot Zivanu ala tefillah, right? We paskin tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah to tovah, just a halachically significant act. So you can get out of it, but I'll be pashto so you don't have a time.
I don't think the Briska would agree, Rebbe. I don't think the Briska would agree to that. Because then the Chidushay agrees when they're talking about the Hallel, the Rabbi Brisk asks why, according to the Rambam, that the mitzvah lishmoa the Divrayim, including minhagim, but you don't make a bracha on the Hallel because it's not a ma'aseh mitzvah. Umat Hallel on Yontif, which is the Hallel itself, is a ma'aseh mitzvah. That's what the Shay agrees. So even Shechita would be a ma'aseh mitzvah.
It's a good question. It's a good question. It could be according to the Brisker Mahalach and the Rambam, they would have, betrayed their grandfather.
I'm not sure.
But clearly, in Shas and most Rishonim, a bracha does not prove it's a mitzvah on the Gavra.
Can I say something?
It couldn't be that a mitzvah on the Hefta is good enough, and then it could work with the Grizz. Yes, Abe.
As Chaim pointed out to me when we were learning this, the Masechta brings from Rav Shach, in fact, the Rambam does count Achilas Chatos and Achilas Menachos as a separate mitzvah. Peches, Peites, and Sefer Mitzvos. So the problem is more in the facts than in the lumdus.
He could still say the same thing. You're right. Basically, maybe we've neutralized the right from the Rambam. I was a poshea. I just believed everything I read in the Beis HaLevi. Okay, instead of
it's a very good svara, but it doesn't fit the.
Okay, but it could still be true, even if it counts as a mitzvah. Say it could be
that it's a very good
svara. Okay, so it's not a pirka on the Beis HaLevi. It just takes one more in raya. Lemaisa, the other achronim assume you need to eat exayas. What do they do with our sug of eating a pole? So there's a plethora of answers in the achronim. I tried to get all of them on this makora sheet. I tried my best to get all of them on this makora sheet. What are some of the answers in the achronim? I'll just mention them very, very briefly. What about our sugya? So one answer is the Minchas Chinuch, quoted in the Mikdash David. The Minchas Chinuch says that you're potter from this mitzvah. Why? Because it's a din to oraisa, you have to split up kachim among the kohanim. And these kachim are so small that they split them up, and each kohen got less than a kezias. In which case, they're a potter from the mitzvah. The Torah only said that the mitzvah achilas kachim when it's possible according to the rules of the Torah. Let's say no one brings a karban, then there's no mitzvah achilas kachim. Let's say someone brings a karban, but the Torah demands that you divide it and does not give you any options. You must divide it less than a kezias to each person. So you're potter from the mitzvah in this case. Okay, it's a bit of a chiddush, right? Meaning, there's Torah imagined there'd be a lot of yidden, right? All over it says, if you keep the Torah, I'll bless you and make a lot of yidden. And even says sometimes if you don't keep the Torah, it says stam, right? Hashem make a lot of yidden. So if there's a lot of yidden, there should be a lot of kohanim. One karban is one karban. How much can you split it if there's a lot of kohanim? So the Torah had in mind that everyone would always be potter from this mitzvah. Says, yes, I guess so. You know, that if there's enough kohanim, we'd never do this mitzvah. So it says, you're potter if there's not enough for a kezias each. Okay, that's a chiddush, but that's Minchas Chinuch. Because David himself says, I don't really understand. He says, who says there's a mitzvah of eating each carbon separately? There's a mitzvah of eating all the carbonos together. And when these kohanim each got a pull, they got a pull of one carbon. The Gemara says you can't divvy up. Anyone remember this? It was in Rashi and Chumash, I think. If not, it's in the Gemara. I can't say, well, you take this chunk of this carbon, you take that chunk of that carbon, it's easier than chopping them all up. No, you have to give everyone a piece of every carbon. So says the Mikdash Shabbat, they each got a kapul of one carbon, but they also got from another carbon, and from another carbon, and from another carbon. So together, each got eight of kezias. So that's the Mikdash Shabbat, says the Mikdash Shabbat. He says that each coin had a kezias total. And the chiddush is not a separate mitzvah. Each carbon, it's a mitzvah to eat all the carbonos together. Another possibility, which the Chassam Sofer says, is that maybe it's enough for one person to eat a kezias. If you have to divide them equally, how can one person get a kezias? So the Achronim come up with all kinds of scenarios, like maybe the Kohen Gadol took Exias because the Kohen Gadol could take as much as he wants. Or maybe it was Shabbos. And in Shabbos, the Lechem Apanim, the Mishmar HaYotze gets more of a shear than the Mishmar HaNichnas. And in any case, maybe the Mishmar HaYotze had less people, or that one of them had less people. So it could be that, says the Chassam Sofer, based on the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch doesn't use it to answer our question. But he's quoting the Minchas in the Mikdash David. He says, one Kohen got a kezias. Had one kohen get a kezias, either with the kohen gadol, or they had unequal divisions because it was Shabbos and there were two different mishmars who were coming in and out. The other possibility is what the Mitziv says here in the Merum Mitzadeh. It's interesting. None of these people want to say the Beis Halevi. And not only Beis Halevi, none of them want to say the Tosfos Yeshanim. I don't know if they had a copy of Tosfos Yeshanim or not. I don't know the history of the printing. None of them want to say the Tosfos Yeshanim. They all assume you need a kezias. So says the Mitziv, he says, this is the days of Shimon HaTzadik. What happened in the days of Shimon HaTzadik if you got a pull worth? Who remembers? What happened in the days of Shimon HaTzadik?
Perfectly satisfied.
You were full, as if you ate a four-course meal. So he says, here's an interesting chiddush. What if, through miraculous bracha of Hashem, you eat less than a kezias, but you're full? Does that count as achila or not? Could have gone either way. Could have said, no, it's still not an objective maisa achila. The fact that Hashem gave you a bracha in your tummy doesn't make a difference. So you could say, no, that's a maisa achila. Hashem made this pull be as satisfying as a four-course meal. Not as satisfying as a kezias, as satisfying as a four-course meal. And therefore, it says the Netziv, he assumes that it's Bimei Shimon HaTzadik. I think he says Shimon HaTzadik. I hope I'm not mixing up with a different Tzadik.
That's right.
Bimei Shimon HaTzadik. And what's the assumption? The assumption is not that they were full from eating a little bean's worth. That's says in the Gemara. That's a Masorah. The assumption is that it doesn't say in the Gemara that if you're full from eating a little bean's worth, that's called achila. I wonder, like, what if scientists could invent some sort of, I don't know if they can, but they invent some sort of new thing that's beyond our modern science where you eat some tiny thing that really has a four-course meal, like, stuck in there somehow. They manage to, like, shrink a four-course meal into some tiny, tiny pill, and you eat it, it becomes a four-course meal in your stomach. So would you bench or not? So that Tzib would say yes. He would say, as long as it contains a full meal in it, even if it's technically very small, then it counts as a kezayis for benching, or for our purposes of the mitzvah achilas kachim, and for all mitzvahs in the Torah. Okay, so you can get out of the Beis HaLevi's Kiddush, but I think the Beis HaLevi, whether or not he's right about the minyan of mitzvos, I think the Beis HaLevi is a nice deal from our sugya, the pashas of our sugya, where the Beis HaLevi, and now that he has a rishon on his side, says the Tosfos Yeshanim in Yoma, Tosfos Yeshanim Yoma says explicitly that you're doing a mitzvah, even if it is less than a kezayis. I'll just end with one suggestion, which is
But the Tosfos Yeshanim are really saying that you don't even need the kezayis, and all the other approaches say you have the equivalent of a kezayis.
Exactly. That the Tosfos Yeshanim is like the Beis HaLevi against everyone else. Here he says something interesting. Yes. He says you don't need a kezayis. The Beis HaLevi says you don't need a kezayis. Everyone else says you need a kezayis, and you somehow...
At all. The Tosfos Yeshanim...
Exactly. That's the Beis HaLevi. You don't need a kezayis at all. As long as it's eaten, it doesn't matter if you eat. The Tosfos Yeshanim, one second, what he says here is, lo boy kezayis legamri, ela kezayis odif v'chashiv achila. You don't need a kezayis legamri. You don't see that kezayis, but it's odif tav achila b'kezayis. The question is, what's that odif tav achila b'kezayis in the Beis HaLevi of the Tosfos Yeshanim? He's basically Beis HaLevi. You don't need a kezayis. That's against the Minchas Chinuch, against the Mikdash David, against the Chasam Sofer, against the Netziv. Maybe he fit Minchas Chinuch for Potter, but that's how he sees your mitzvah less exais. He's against everyone. That's fine. Maybe not because I'm sofer. Okay, he's against everyone else. But what does it mean it's adif to have exais? So you could say, why is it adif to have exais? It's just nice to have an achila, like it's a nice extra halachic thing that when you're doing the mitzvah schefts of achilas kachim, if you also have an achila and eat a exais, you're like, have more of an experience. But it could be that what he's saying is maybe it's Tveidina, maybe both sides of the Chakira are right. The basic mitzvah, the Chefter should be Nechal. But if you do mitzvah Achil as a Gavra, that's an additional Kiyum. Maybe there's Tveidinim here. Okay, it's a Chiddush, because you have to ask me, where does he get Tveidinim from? You can't just make up Tveidinim Stam. But the question is, when he says, L'boi Kzayis L'gamri, El Kzayis Adif V'chashiv Achila, Kzayis is better, does that mean a sort of non-halachic category better, just like, oh, it's nicer to have more the merrier, and after all, a kezayis is significantly more? Or does he mean, no, there's actually two aspects here. There's the basic mitzvah of achilas hachefza, but there's an additional kiyum in achilas hagavra. You have to ask me, have you tasted that additional kiyum of achilas hagavra? But if you assume the addition, the kiyum is achilas hachefza, but there's an additional kiyum for adif to achilas hagavra, so it could be tzveidinim. So it could very well be Tzveidinim, maybe the Tosfos Yeshanim, we're not sure what he means. The whole question about Adif. Adif, like a Musar Adif, a Chavaya Adif, nice experience, nice religious feeling to really get into the Kachim. Or does he mean no, Adif halachically? And if he means Adif halachically, then he'd be saying Tzveidinim, the Chiyav is Achilas HaHefza, but there's also an additional Kiyav if you have Achilas HaGavra. Okay, then that would be very, very fascinating. I can't promise. But he certainly leans in that direction. Okay. If there's no other questions, we'll go on in the Gemara. Says the Gemara.
Can I make a remark?
I didn't hear you.
Rabbi, can I ask?
Before you continue.
Okay.
I think that you could say the Beis HaLevi according to the Rambam as well. Because if you look in the Sefer of Mitzvot, the way the Rambam formulates the Mitzvot Achilas Kachim, it's only by Kodshei Kodoshim, which is a Maisa Kapora.
What's it say again? What did the Rambam say?
It says it's only by Kodshei Kodoshim, which is a Maisa Kapora.
Interesting. So you could be Chalidin Kodshei Kachim, Kodshim Kalim, right? That's what came to mind when you originally said that. Okay, you're absolutely right, but we'll leave that for now. Okay, let's continue. Now we have another story. How are Magav Salif Achol Psachim Yerushalayim? A certain guy would go up and eat a carbon pesach in Yerushalayim and pretend to be a Jew. Amar Ksiv Kal Ben Nechar Lo Yochal Bo Kal Oral Lo Yochal Bo. Right, two things. He was an Oral and a Ben Nechar. Va'ana Kal Chilu Mishufri Shufri. I eat from the best part. He bragged. Amarly Reviewed Him Say Ramika Savol Me Alia. We would say to give it from the tail fat, which is mamish the best part. Amarly Lo. He says no. He says, right, basically, it's like in the movies, just In real life, no one's clever enough to pull this shtick, only in movies, or Rabbi Judah ben Seira, who was a Tana, who was as clever as the fictional characters in the movies. So what does he say? He says he can't do anything about it. He's not in Yerushalayim. He can't do anything about it, but he says, do they give you the really best part? You're bragging? Come on, you don't get the real best part. They're treating you like a second-class citizen. They're not giving you the aliyah. Only the real Jews get the aliyah. Ha, I'm not impressed. So the guy comes, he says, I want to eat from the aliyah. Now, every Jew knows, basic chumash, that the aliyah is one of the, remember, the chalavim, right? Or the imurim that goes in the zbeach. Amrli, aliyah gavosalka, the aliyah gets burnt to Hashem. Amrli, man amrlach hachi, who told you to say this? Amrli, Rabbi Yehuda Maseira told me. So that was obviously suspicious. Amr my hi, they come on, what's going on here? But why would Rabbi Yehuda Maseira tell him to say something so suspicious? But Gabasir Shkoda Armahu Vikatlu, they checked him out and found he was a guy and killed him. Shalchle, Rabbi Yehuda Maseira, Shalom lach Rabbi Yehuda Maseira, they sent a letter. Shalom aleichem Rabbi Yehuda Maseira, the up in Sivan, you're far away in the Sivan, and to dust up Prusa Yerushalayim, but your net is cast even Yerushalayim, and your plan, worked. What is this doing here? So Rashi says, doesn't seem to have anything to do with Lashon Akia, right? Rashi says, no, it's just Agav, the Kohanim, the Kohen said something stupid and it caused them to check and fire him. So this guy said something stupid and it caused them to check and kill him. Okay, maybe you could all say it has to do with the power of words. He was able to cast his net with mere words, but maybe the simple shot is like Rashi. Yes.
Is there any halachic problem with the not being able to kill him?
I think maybe Rashi or someone says that it was just practical. Is it Rashi or someone else? Uviyad Rehudim say Lohay Lohargo. He didn't have power to do it. Like he could have. I mean, if they could have, he could have, right? Whatever justification they had in killing him, he had in killing him. It's just that he didn't have the power, but in the Regel, in Yerushalayim, they, if not had the power, at least had the mob. Now, Taka, why did they kill him, though? Why did they kill him, though? What did he do that was Chayiv Misa? Yes.
At the beginning, you said, is there a difference between a guy in RL and a guy not in RL?
No, because a guy is still a Ben Nechar. It's just that he's a guy in RL, he's a Ben Nechar and an RL, so it's twice as bad.
I mean, is there... A guy in RL, is it any worse than a regular guy? Does this concept?
I hear the question. Meaning, is a guy, is it too lavin for a guy who's an RL as opposed to a guy who's not an RL? Rashi, I don't know for sure, but Rashi and Chumash seems to say so because he says, why do you need Ben Nechar to ask or even a guy with a bris mila? Implying that there is a difference between a guy with a bris mila and without. So based on my, my cheder knowledge, I don't remember any Jew from the Rambam about this, but based on my cheder knowledge of Chumash with Rashi, it sounds like there would be a double lav if he was a guy and an Arul. Who's in charge of taking pictures of the board, by the way? Okay, so Haka, why was he Chayiv Misa? What did he do that was Chayiv Misa? It's not any of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, right? It's not Avodah Zarah, it's not Abraham Achai, etc. Why was he Chayiv Misa? So here we have an interesting machlokas, achronim, why he was Chayiv Misa, which has to do with the Menachas Chinuch points out, Machlokes in the Smag versus the Rambam plus the Chinuch as the Lav of Kol Ben Nechar Lo Yochal. Though, what do the Rambam and the Chinuch hold? That who is this Lav talking to? The Rambam and the Chinuch say it's talking to
the Jews.
The Jew. Kol Ben Nechar Lo Yochal means Lo Ta'achil Le Ben Nechar. Talking to the Jew, don't feed it to a guy. But the Smag sounds like it's talking to the guy. A guy is not allowed to eat it. Oh, there's only Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. The Chassidim says, no, there's only Sheva general Mitzvah B'nei Noach that apply in all circumstances, not specific to Kodshim, etc. But they're really more than that. As a matter of fact, Chazal do tell us lots of things that are usher for Ben Noach. Right, Ben Noach can't keep Shabbos, etc. So there's more than Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. There's Sheva general Mitzvah B'nei Noach that apply broadly. But this is another Mitzvah B'nei Noach. That's the Chiddush the Smag. And then we understand why he's Chayiv Misa, because a guy is Chayiv Misa for any Mitzvah. Right? So he violated Kol Ben Nechar Lo Yochal Bo. That's the Shita of the Smag. But that's not the mainstream Shita, because the mainstream Shita is that it's a lav on a Jew to feed it to a guy. There's no lav on the guy to eat it. So then why is he Chayiv Misa? So there are three or four other pshatim in the Mefarshim here. Says the Minchas Chinuch, he gives two pshatim. Says the Minchas Chinuch, number one, it could be that they just discovered he was a guy and that he didn't keep Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. right? It doesn't just mean they discovered he was a guy. They discovered he was a guy and that he worshipped idols, or that he was a guy and that he ate a minafai, or etc. Meaning, once they discovered he's a guy, they say, ah, you're a guy. In what church do you belong to? It says, ah, I belong to the church of Avodah Zarah Ploni. Okay, so they killed him, or etc. So Kobe, they didn't kill him for the Korban Pesach. They just killed him for something else. Obviously, they were mad about the Korban Pesach, so they found something to, you know, the police do that all the time. They're mad at you for one thing, and they find that you violated something else. They run your fingerprints through, and they pick you up for something else. Okay, that's fair. He still did it. That's the second shot. The Minchas Chinuch gives a third shot that he violated the law of Gezel. Gezel is one of Shem Mitzvei Noach. What kind of Gezel? So the Minchas Chinuch says, Gezel Gavoa. This is a big machlokas. We discussed this above a comma. That was more than 1 year ago, I think. That was 2 years ago, maybe. Our Pesach is Kachim Kalim. The truth is, Pesach is different than other Kachim Kalim, so it's not necessarily good proof. But it could be that Kachim Kalim are really Mamon Gavoa. All the Bailim can eat it. Maybe they belong to Hashem. He just lets us eat it. So if Kachim Kalim are Mamon Gavoa, then the Pesach is the money of Hashem, property of Hashem. Hashem lets Jews eat it. He doesn't let Goyim eat it, so the guy stole it. So he stole. Rav Chanan wants to say, no, it's not Gezel Gavoa, it's Gezel Hedyot. He stole it from the other B'nai Chabura. How did he steal it? He paid? Hold on a second. If you don't want to sell me something, and I trick you under false pretenses into selling it to me and take it, that's theft. It's theft if I trick you into selling me something under false pretenses. Right? That's theft. You don't want to sell this. I lie to you and I fool you into selling it to me. That's theft. And here, they didn't want to sell it to a guy. They only wanted to sell a share to a Jew. He tricked them, so he really stole it. Even though he paid for it, that's still called stealing, so it's Gezel. And the fourth shot is the Netziv here. The Netziv says they killed him for Tumas HaAzara. He must have gone into the Azara with all the Jews. And a guy who goes into his Tame is not allowed into the Azara, right? There used to be a big sign in Greek on the Chel saying, Goy, I'm not allowed. In the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. So he is Metami the Azara, because Midrabban and Goyim have Toma. And there's a rule in Masech Sanhedrin that it's one of the Kanan Pogimbo, that if someone's Metami the Azara, Kanan Pogimbo, and they kill him, even though it's not a Chiv Nisa in the Torah. So here he's Metami the Azara. By going in, he assumes he went in and didn't just eat. Usually people went into the Azara, and then they eat their Korban Pesach. Okay, so that's an assumption. That's the weakest shot, because it's based on an assumption. It may or may not be true that he went into the Azara. Like, how do we know that he went to the Azara? It's a speculation. We have no evidence as to this particular story from 2,000 years ago. But these are the different shatim. Why was he chai of Misa? One, according to the Smag, it's easy, called Ben Nechar Lo Yochalbo. But everyone else says that's on the Jew. That's like the most lundish thing here. Who's the lav called Ben Nechar on? So the other shatim are Minchas Tinach says, Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Point one, the Minchas Chinuch says Gezel Gavoa. 3.2, Rav Elchanan, the Kovach Shiurim right here says Gezel Hedyot. And the Netziv, although he's making an assumption, says Tumas HaAzara. Tumas HaAzara is not one of Shem Mitzvei Noach and is not Chayiv Misa anyway. Yeah, but Kanan Pogmo. Kanan Pogmo is for Jews and Goyim. Whatever the time, the example in Sanhedrin, the calling is Metami the Azara. The other Kohanim would kill him as Kanon Pogimbo. Okay, it's not exact. That's basically, I don't know if they use the exact words Kanon Pogimbo, but it's in the same sugya. Yeah. Okay, so we have plenty of explanations why they killed him. The most fascinating discussion here is not why they killed him, but why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira didn't go to Yerushalayim. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira go to Yerushalayim? Yeah, it's very nice that he has been seven in Mitzudascha Prusa Yerushalayim, but he's a Jew. A Jew has to bring Korban Pesach. Since when is the Rabbi Yehuda and Sarah potter from Korban Pesach? Good question. So Tosfos asked that question. Tosfos, the second half of the Dibur Maaseh Me'al Yomikar Safulach. Rabbi Yehuda and Sarah Shlo Olo LeRegel. Why didn't he do Aliyah LeRegel? Yeshlomar Shaloi Lo Karka. He didn't own land. If you're not a landowner, you're potter from Aliyah LeRegel. How does Tosfos know that? It's a Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim in Har Perek, very, very soon, says that that you're only chayev if you have karka. Chesam et beis, damar of ami, kol adam sheish lo karka, olu lo regel. Sheim lo karka, ino olu lo regel. Okay. You only, why? Because it says, when you do a lila regel, don't be afraid someone will steal your land, right? And he darshan, that means if you have land, you're chayv to go. Because the Torah is talking about a landowner. If you don't have land, you're not chayv to go. Yeah, that's a drasha. Good. Or he says, the potter passing Maria. Or he was a zaken sheni yachal halach baraglov. The Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga says, if you're very old, he might have been very old, and you can't walk up to Harabayis, even though you could be carried up to Harabayis or transported up. But since it says regolim, Lashon Raglayim, if you can't walk with your feet, you are putter, even though you could go in a car or a wagon or whatever. Upater mi pesach kamo b'ri'iyah, he's putter from carbon pesach, just like he's putter from carbon b'ri'iyah, or from r'iyah. Inami nitzivin chutzlaretz, or nitzivin was in chutzlaretz, because after all, there's a targum, in Sifri and Re'eh, it sounds like nitzivin chutzlaretz, and the targum in Yerushalmi, and Noach, it sounds like nitzivin was in chutzlaretz, fine. So Tosas has three possible mitziases. What are Tosas' three possible mitziases? Aleph, ein lo karka, potter me re'ia. That's a Gemara. Beis, zakein. She'eino yacho lehalech beraglav. Also, potter meiriya. And Gimel, he was in Chutzlaretz. Now, says the Mishnah Melech has two problems with this Tosos. What are the Mishnah Melech's two problems with this Tosos? What are the Mishnah Melech's two things he rejects about this Tosos? Anyone? He rejects, yes, see.
Karbon Pesach doesn't have to do with Riya.
So number one, just Tosa says he's put from Riyah like Pesach. The Gemara never says the term from Pesach. As a matter of fact, Pesach is very, very important. Much more serious than Riyah, Kares, etc. Right? Women are, it's machlokas, but women are definitely put from Riyah. Pesach says called Zechorcha. Women might be chayim in Karbon Pesach, right? As the Mishnah Melech points out. So Mishnah Melech has two problems. Says the Mishnah Melech. A, Nehechi Tesi, Neha Potter Me Re'iya, Potter Mi Pesach. How do you know if you're Potter from Re'iya, you're Potter from Pesach? Where does that come from? That's ridiculous. What's the second problem? What's the second problem? His second problem is, who says if you're Chutzlaretz, you're Potter from Re'iya? Who says if you, where does it say anywhere in Shas that Chutzlaretz, these other two things are in Shas? B, Mehefi Tesi, Dehadar, Bechutz Laretz, Potter, Meiriya. Okay, those are his two problems with Tosos. Okay, how do we answer up those two problems with Tosos? So, the Achronin, the Minchas Chinuch, and everyone after him go to town. They find many rayos that Tosas is right. There's Gemara Pesachim Daf Ayin that I'm trying to remember who it was in that sugya. Where is it? Who moved down south? Who is it who moved down south?
It was like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. It was part of the same family.
Yeah, it was part of the same family, one of the Ben Becerras, right? I don't know if it says who.
Yeah.
He moved down south in order to, the Yashiv Lobadarom.
To avoid the problem.
In order not to get into.
Chagiga on Shabbos.
Yes. In order not to get into Machlokas about Chagiga on Shabbos. And that implies, he's talking about Chagiga, that implies that he was putter if he moved down south. Down south, maybe it's Chutzlaretz. Not only that, but they point out in the Psukim when it says Chizki on Yoshe, everyone made Pesach. He said they got all the Jews, Milvo, Hamas, and Nachal Mitzrayim. Sounds like Jews and Chutzler Taka were Pater from Pesach. There are some good rayas. The question is, what's the Svara? What's the Svara for these two steps? So, number one, what's the Svara to Pater someone in Chutzler from Re'iya? What's the Svara to Pater someone in Chutzler from Re'iya? So, I could think of two Svaras. One Svara, which is what all the Achronim say. How do we answer the Mishnah Melech? All the Achronim say, what's the Torah of Chutzlaretz is Artzacha is Chutz Laretz equals not having Karka. Right? The Netziv here says, because if you live in Chutz Laretz, your Karka counts as Metaltalin. They weren't Erchon says, it's not real Karka if it's not in Israel. The Erchon Shulchan just says, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yachmanish Artzacha. Artzacha means your land in Eretz Israel. So it's not going to be a funny svara that it doesn't count as Karka. Counts as Karka, but it's not Artzacha. It's Eretz Shul Mishu Acher. So fine. So it's as if you don't have Karka, which makes sense. The Pasuk, Lo Yachmanish is Artzacha. Right? Lechora Artzacha is talking about Eretz Israel. Okay. So I thought that maybe you could say a little differently. Based on the Yerushalmi says, the best right is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, in the first paragraph of Horios, I forget which halacha, the Yerushalmi in Horios says, L'ri'iya holchu milvo chamas anach mitzrayim, which are the borders of Israel, as mentioned in Parshas Matos and summarized in Melachim and other places. So the Pemos says it means something else. The simple shot is you're only chayiv in Ri'iya if you live in Levo Chamas Anach Mitzrayim, if you live in the borders of Eretz Yisrael, if you live in Chutzlaretz, you're part from Ri'iya. Why? Not so clear why, but if you put two and two together, interestingly, what's it doing in Horios? It says, for Hora, right? When do you have to bring the carbon of Parhel and Dovashel Tzibur? If Bezdin made a bad Hora and most of the Jews followed it? Most of the Jews followed it. Who counts as most of the Jews? Who gets a vote? Only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Bavli also says in the Yerushalmi, that you by Hora, you go by most Jews in Eretz Yisrael. It's two lines next to each other in the Yerushalmi. What's the Svara? The Bavli says, it says Kahal, and Kahal in Eretz Yisrael counts as Kahal, Kahal in Chutz Laretz doesn't count as Kahal. Okay, if you put this Bavli and Yerushalmi together, the Bavli says the Kahal in Chutz Laretz doesn't count. Every individual Jew in Chutz Laretz counts just as much as an individual in Eretz Yisrael. Right, if you know an individual Jew in Chutz Laretz, he's just as precious to Hashem, or she's just as precious to Hashem as an individual Jew here. But in terms of being part of the Kahal is in Eretz Yisrael. You're part of the Kahal in Eretz Yisrael. You're a Yachin in Chutz Laretz. You're part of the Kahal in Eretz Yisrael. I don't mean you're not part of Kahal Yisrael at all, but you're not part of the aspect called the Kahal. Right, you're not part of the national body of Eretz Yisrael if you're in Chutz Laretz. Then you put that together with Re'iya, you could say, what's the point of Re'iya? The whole point of Re'iya is you're a Kol Zechorcha. Re'iya is not primarily a din for the Yachid. Re'iya is primarily a din for the Tzibur. Everyone should get together. If the whole point of Re'iya is for everyone to get together, then it makes sense. Who's everyone? Everyone is the Kahal. The Kahal is the Jews in Israel. The Jews in Israel are part of the Kahal. The Kahal has to come worship Hashem as a Kahal. Each individual, the Chi of Re'iya is not, now it's a big finish because each Yachid is Chayiv in Re'iya, but you have to say there's an aspect of Re'iya that's not just on the Yachid, that's on the Yachid as part of a Kahal. And therefore, maybe, because in Chutz Laretz you're not part of the Kahal, that's a Chiddush, that is not what the and the Or HaShulchan say. This is a Chiddush, but maybe you can Chadish that the Chi of Re'iya is only on the Kahal and Kal Sheva Chutz Laretz Lo Ikri Kahal. Where do I get that idea from? From the fact that Bavli says for Hora, we don't count Jews in Chutz Laretz because they're not part of the Kahal. And the Yerushalmi in that same halacha in the next line says for Re'iya, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. So you put two and two together, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it's just things that are vaguely similar in some way. Or maybe the famous Moshe there says is not referring to his Chayim Re'iya at all. It's just referring to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. But no one else understands that way. The simple pshat is maybe you could say Re'iya is a din in the Kahal. Not that every Jew has to go to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year. Everyone is part of the Kahal. The Kahal has to go three times a year to the Beis HaMikdash. The Kahal has to go serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash three times a year. And if you're not part of the Kahal, then you're Potter. Okay, so you can think of two svaras to defend the Chutz Laretz. Let's just briefly see. What about the relationship between Pesach and Re'iya? Why just because? Let's say we found a valid drasha you're Potter from Re'iya. Right? Again, if you don't have Karka, it's a Gemara Daf Chesem Beis you're Potter from Re'iya. Okay, you could ask, do we hold like that Gemara? Maybe there's another Gemara that disagrees, but simple shot. If a Gemara says something someplace in Shas, then we hold like it, right? Tosas defended. A Zokin who can't walk, it's before Gemara and Chagig is Potter. Chutz Laretz, we figured out a Svara why he's Potter. But, and we have Rayas from Tanakh and from Shas that maybe in Chutz Laretz he is Potter. But what does one thing have to do? What does one thing have to do with the other? just because you're potter from Re'iyah, why are you potter from Korban Pesach? All these drushas are specific to Re'iyah. So, anyone want to help me out here with just because you're potter from Re'iyah, why are you potter from Pesach? What does Tosas mean? What Tosas Lashon is, right? Just like he's potter from Re'iyah. Well, I forget the exact words Tosas says. He says, De potter mi Pesach kamo mi Re'iyah. Why, if you're potter from Re'iyah, are you also potter from Pesach? What's Tosas' Svara? So this is very, very unclear. Like, why should you be potter from Re'iyah from Pesach just because you're potter from Re'iyah? Re'iyah is one mitzvah, Pesach is another mitzvah, and Pesach is more important than Re'iyah. So why should you be potter? So here we have a fundamental machlok zachron. You could have said, I haven't found any achron who said this. Chaim, you'll tell me who said this in the Masifta. I didn't look at the Masifta. Okay. You could have said, Tosos is inventing a drasha here. After all, right, what does it say in Mishpatim? Sorry, one second. Is there a chumash here? I don't see a chumash.
And what
does it say right before that? Or right after that? What does it say, Mishpatim? And the next thing is, very important for our upcoming sugyas. So it puts the two of them next to each other in Mishpatim. It does this. The Torah does the same exact thing in Parshas Kisisa. Oh, no, you're reading me from Kisisa. You're reading me from Kisisa. But if you look at Mishpatim, it's very similar. What does it say in Parshas Mishpatim? It says, Shalosh Pa'amim. Oh, it says the same thing in both. You're reading from both. It says, Shalosh Pa'amim calls a Chorcha, Lo Sivacha Chameitz Dam Zivchi. In both Mishpatim and Kisis, and that maybe Tos means the Hekish. So you could have said, maybe Tosus means it's a Hekish, and fundamentally, Pesach is Toloi Bira'iyah. Okay, the Tzlach says, no. The Tzlach here says it's not fundamental, it's just technically. If you're potter from Re'iyah, you're not going to do Re'iyah. If you don't do Re'iyah, where are you going to be? And what's that called?
Derech
Hachoka. If you're in Derech Hachoka, you're potter from Pesach. Okay, what's the weakness of the Tzlach? If you're in Derech Hachoka, you're potter from Pesach, but...
Pesach Sheni.
He doesn't address that fact, so why didn't he go to Pesach Sheni? Unless he says he did go to Pesach Sheni. Just in Pesach Sheni, he couldn't have caught the guy. Right? But, so it could be that he did go to Pesach Sheni, he just didn't go to Pesach Rishon. That's a little funny if he had to go anyway. Why didn't he go to Pesach Rishon? Okay, maybe you can think of a lot of ideas. Maybe he couldn't handle the crowds, you know, because he was very old, whatever the case may be, to, you know. But, says the Tzlach, that it's just a chitimtzi of Derech Rechoka. Meaning, if you're chayv in a lila regal, then you're in Yerushalayim. You're chayv to bring from Pesach. You're potter from lila regal, you're not in Yerushalayim. If you're not in Yerushalayim, then your potter from bringing home Pesach is Derech Rechoka. But then you have to bring Pesach Sheni, and that's a big fiddish. So, says the Netziv and the Or HaShulchan, they say another big fiddish. And the Aruch HaShulchan, they say the Chi of Korban Pesach is only Chal on someone in Yerushalayim. Milchatchila, Korban Pesach is only someone in Yerushalayim. How do we know that? They don't say. Meaning, not to do with the Leila Regel. Women are Chayiv in Pesach if they're in Yerushalayim. Someone who's a Zokim Ve'eni Yochel Lahalach Baraglov is Chayiv in Pesach if he's in Yerushalayim. Right? It's not like what I was suggesting in Tosos, that it's a Hekish, which I thought was the simplest shot in Tosos. He's saying, no. It's just a technical connection. Right? But he says fundamental versus technical. Not that fundamentally. Again, I couldn't find any achronim on my side. I thought Tosfos meant fundamentally. Re'iyah and Pesach are one halachic category. Either you're chayiv in Beis HaMikdash or you're not, and the Torah makes a hekesh. Tosfos maybe made up a hekesh to connect them fundamentally. None of the achronim want to be so bold. Rather, they say it's just technical. Hekitimtzi, either hekitimtzi derech rechoka, or no. That the chi of Korban Pesach is only on people in Yerushalayim. Chi of Korban Pesach is only on people in Yerushalayim. What's the point? There's a Ptur of Derech Rechoka. Doesn't that show that it's only chal on someone who's in Yerushalayim? Isn't there a chi of derech chalukah. What does derech chalukah means? You should have brought the korban pesach, but you didn't. So you have to bring korban pesach sheni. So who has to bring a pesach sheni? Derech chalukah. Doesn't that mean that you're chayav even if you're not in Yerushalayim with pesach sheni? Right. That's enough to mean. According to the slach, what would come out? It would come out that Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira was chayav in pesach sheni. She was just derech chalukah. Then it's simply saying, no, that's ridiculous. How can you say he's chayim pesach sheni? Pasha says he never went. Pasha says he wasn't chayim pesach sheni. Ah, why not? Because he wasn't Yerushalayim. If you're only chayim from pesach in Yerushalayim, how they know that? I'm not sure. Maybe it's the diuk of derech rechoka. Ah, but what do they say? Derech rechoka. If you're on the derech rechoka, you bring pesach sheni. But if you're not in Yerushalayim at all, you don't. What exactly is this in between? If you live outside of Yerushalayim, you're putter. If you live in Yerushalayim, you're chayiv. Derech rechoka, you're chayiv pesach sheni. Who's this derech rechoka? So, says the Netziv, derech rechoka someone on the way to Yerushalayim who didn't make it yet. If you're on the way but you didn't make it yet, then you're mechayiv yourself and you have to do pesach sheni. But if you're at home, you're patur legamri. Big chiddush, someone who is patur non Yerushalayim patur pesach. The Aruch HaShulchan, I think, says a little sharper. He says, no, if you're supposed to be in Yerushalayim and you're not, you're called derech rechoka. Who's supposed to be in Yerushalayim? Someone is chayiv in alil regel. So he makes a great technical connection. But according to Netziv and the Aruch HaShulchan, let's just point out, Netziv and Aruch HaShulchan, if you're in Yerushalayim, you bring Pesach Rishon. If you are out of Yerushalayim, you're Potter. Who's Chayiv in Pesach Sheni? Derech Rechoka. Who's Derech Rechoka? That's Lachmi. We always thought Derech Rechoka is someone who's outside of Yerushalayim. We say, no, outside of Yerushalayim is Potter. Derech Rechoka is something in between. What is that in between? Equals, according to the Netziv, if someone's on the way to Yerushalayim, then they're Chayim Pesach Sheni. Or according to the Aruch HaShulchan, someone who is Chayav Leos be Yerushalayim, Midin Aliyah LeRegel, and just didn't come. Okay, so you have three categories. Someone who's Stamen outside of Yerushalayim is Potter. Someone who's in Yerushalayim is Chayav Pesach Rishon. Someone's Derech Rechoka, either they were on their way to Yerushalayim or they should have been on their way to Yerushalayim. They have a connection to Yerushalayim, just they weren't there. They bring Pesach Sheni. Okay, either way, it's a tremendous chiddush to Tosos. To make up a drasha like I did is a big chiddush. Who says you can make up a hekesh? To say that the chiyuv of Pesach is only on people in Yerushalayim is also a big chiddush. Oh my. Okay, that clock is off. I knew it was an hour off. I thought it was not yet 1 o'clock, but it is 1:03, is it not? Okay, so they're waiting for us for a mincha, for a minyan for mincha, I think. Okay, so we got the sheets down. We'll have to be able to pick up. We're going to share with the next sugya on Thursday. Okay, sorry, there's no time for questions because I was looking at the wrong clock and we are all late for mincha. Don't worry, I'm sure they'll wait for us because I'm pretty sure they don't have a minyan without us.
Mm-hmm. The reason why they killed them is because really they were being mocked from Pesach after the Korban.